Our podcast will begin in just a moment. We thank you for downloading it. InvestTalk Distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. There's so much information available today. Where do you begin? Steve and Justin continue working to put together a library of info sheets, webinars, and more that don't take more time than they have to. They're easy to read, straight to the point, plain talk. And you can have an instant access to all of it right now. Just sign up to be an InvestTalk Insider. There's never any charge. Just go to InvestTalk.com and scroll down the page until you see Sign Up for Free to Become an InvestTalk Insider. Now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of Invest Talk. It is February 26, 2016, and of course, this is our 1 hour. We do it every day, Monday through Friday, our 1 hour forum, and I want you to please feel free to join in. It's all, the topic is always money, how we save it, how we make it, how we grow it. Of course, it's my favorite topic, and finally, how we spend it. Really, spending is probably the most important part of that whole equation. Making, growing, spending is the problem for most people. And we're not just stuck on stocks and bonds. We'll talk about anything to do with money, anything in your financial life. The goal for everybody is for us to become financially independent. And that's what we want to help you with. Our listener line is 888-99-CHART. You can call it anytime. You can also send a note, or you can click on Contact Steve and send me an email, or contact Justin and send him one. You have to go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Justin. And we really make a diligent effort to answer our emails. Now, being Friday, I usually review the premium newsletter, the weekly premium newsletter. And if you're a subscriber, you're going to read what I'm just going to touch on the various topics. And each week, I start off with the current market conditions, report on what's going on. The Wall Street Journal had an article this morning. I discussed it in the premium newsletter, about holiday shopping, the holiday shopping season, and how poor it was. It was not very good. So I talked about corporate earnings and why and how their three quarters of a row have been down, have fallen, and how commodity prices are impacting the whole economic picture, that kind of thing. And, of course, the raging currency war. If you don't know that we are in a currency war worldwide, they're not paying attention, because we are. So that's the first section. Second section, I gave a couple of, in the stock section, I gave a couple of short ideas. I think you'll be surprised of the two stocks I suggested you short. You'll be surprised, because they're very large tech stocks. Anyway, so that was what's in there. Shorting meaning I expected to go down. You can make money on the downside. In the portfolio management section, we had a little brief lesson on charting. What we discussed. This is a difficult topic because it's a lot to it. But we discussed moving averages, Fibonacci retracement numbers, pivot points, you know, the essential knowledge you need and understanding how these work and how to implement it. And in the Market Watch, Consumer Watch section, I talked about the new scan that's cost $2 billion, corporations $2 billion last year. And it's a corporate scam. It's pretty interesting. I thought it was interesting. And of course, the newsletter is our way to give you some useful information, give you some perspective, help you manage your portfolio, try and how to manage your life finances. That's what it's there for. And it's in a short, about 4 pages. And there's always a little video I put every Friday. I put a little video. I usually record it before the opening of the market this morning, Friday mornings. And a little video, and I talk about a little bit for 2 or 3 minutes about what's going on. So if you want to see my not the most handsome face in the world, you can take a look at that video too. Now let's touch base with reality, your reality. What's going on in your money life? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hello, I'm calling in with a question on a stock I currently own. Time Warner Cable, symbol is TWC. Wanted to see what your opinion is on the stock, whether to continue to hold or sell. So I think you have a great show. Thanks.
Time Warner Cable provides video high-speed data and voice services to about 16 million subscribers in New York, Ohio, Kentucky, Wisconsin, California, Texas, North Carolina, South Carolina. They're going to make it $7.50 per share this year after $6.62 last year. That's a 13% increase. Another 12% increase next year, $8.41. The company is very solid as far as growth and sales and earnings. It's not growing fast, though, 2 to 5% sales growth. Okay, and it pays a 1.6% dividend. If I was to complain about it, there's two things I would complain about. It's expensive. It's a 29 PE right now. 5-year average has been 12 to 29. Now, based on next year's earnings of $8.40, that is still going to be in the mid-20s. It's expensive. Okay, so it has done very well. The chart looks pretty strong. I would just follow it with a tight stop unless you're a long-term holder. The other little thing I don't like is there's a lot of debt. They carry a lot of debt. Don't like that about Time Warner. So they're expensive stock compared to its earnings, and they carry a lot of debt. It's not something I would own. Why? I have recommended the book called Creative Destruction many times on the show here, Creative Destruction. And I think the cable companies are being slowly destroyed, and I don't know if they'll be completely destroyed, but they're certainly being eroded by the new way people watch TV is different. So if it's a cable company, they got to do something to keep attracting those viewers. They're losing viewership through the cable. And then you got Netflix and Hulu and different ways to watch TV that's becoming more popular with the younger generation, not the cable. That worries me about the cable industry as far as an investment. TWC, Time Warner Cable, everybody. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 is our number if you'd like to give me a call. And we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about, and we've talked about it many times, and I understand it's boring, but I want to show you why rebalancing your portfolio is important using our recent January fall. Because I talked about rebalance in December. You need to rebalance your portfolio. So I want to talk about rebalancing it again until you do it. How's that? You need to do it every so often. How often? Well, we'll talk about that too. GDP number got revised. The GDP for the fourth quarter was revised this morning. I want to talk about that and why that's not good news. Even though it got revised up, that's not good news, and I'll tell you why. The Fed governor, have you seen the Fed governor, Lyle Brainard, and what she said about what's happening in the economy and interest rates? Pretty interesting, and I think we need to share that. And jobs, something more fun, something less serious. How about jobs that make you more desirable according to Tinder, the dating website? Jobs that make you more desirable according to Tinder, the dating website. What jobs for men and women? They had broken out men and women. So I wrote down the top 10 for men, and it's kind of interesting. It's probably not what you think. And as I looked at them, I said, this has a little bias to it. But well, I'm going to share you what I think the bias is. The market was mixed today. The Dow was down 57. The Nasdaq was up 8. And the S&P was down 4. So what we've seen is we've seen a 10% correction in the S&P 500 in January. We've seen a 15% correction in the Nasdaq in January. And we've seen about a 50% retracement. In other words, now we're only down about 5% and 7 or 8%, you know, as S&P and the Nasdaq. So the market is trying to make up for what it lost in January this month. I mean, we only have one more trading day left, and that's Monday, because it's a leap year, and it's 29th. So the worst start of a stock market year in January, ever. January had worst start. Second month, February, it retraced half that back. So what is March going to look like? Remember yesterday I talked about the 8 times that the market went up 1.5% for 3 days in a row, and that bodes very well for the following 12 months? And I don't know if I've stressed this or not, but all those 8 times since 1970 that has, and it's only happened 8 times in 1970, that every one of those was a rise in the summer or early fall. And we had that happen in February, where the market went up, S&P went up 3 days in a row more than 1.5% every day. And I wanted to make sure you understood the timing there. You know, and remember, those things aren't necessarily statistically valid, but it is kind of fun to watch them. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk. And this show is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm, mine and Justin's firm. We're here for this hour to help you answer all your money questions. 888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Mac in Cabo San Lucas. How are you doing, Mac? Appreciate the call.
Very well. Enjoy your show every day here in Mexico. And I wanted to ask you about Gold Resource Corporation, GORO, G-O-R-O.
Okay. Go ahead.
A friend of mine sent me a list of junior gold miners, and I got into that ETF GDXJ, but it's gone up so quick. I was kind of looking at some of these gold miners, and I looked at this one, and I saw the high inside ownership, and all the fundamentals on these things all look pretty bad. But I noticed that one thing, statistic, stood out with this, and it looks like it just broke the 100-day, and I was thinking it might be a good time to trade it between this and
Okay. Well, let's talk about it. GORO, Gold Resource Corporation, it is a micro cap company, meaning very, very small. And Mac, whenever we talk about micro caps, very small companies, that should give you a little red flag saying they're risky, extremely risky, okay? Simply because they're so small. And this is a stock selling for $1.94. It's going to make 10 cents next year. It's 10 cents this year. The best year it had was in 2011, made $1.06. And 2014, it made 30 cents. In 2013, it only made a penny. But what I do like is it at least is making money. That's a good sign, okay? Sales are kind of falling, and it might be not because the sales are falling, maybe because gold prices were so low for so long. But I'm a little concerned that they're falling, so you may want to find out why that is happening. The price has really recovered from $1.20 to $1.94. That's a huge percentage move. I will tell you this. We have like 5 gold positions, and one of them really spiked up a lot. And we took, a couple days ago, we cut that in half. We took profits. Now, I'm still in all the gold positions. But I think gold and these gold mining companies, I think they've moved up so fast in such a short period of time that they're going to give back some of those gains. And I would invest when they give back some of those gains. I could be wrong. They might just continue to march up. But the odds are strong that they'll have some kind of pullback. And it could be as much as a 50% retracement. And that wouldn't be abnormal. That'd be normal. So I think, you know, if you're going to put your toe in, just put a toe in, because I think it's hitting you said it broke the 100-day moving average, and it did, but you'll also notice that there's a lot of resistance, a little at about $2.05 right in there for this stock, okay? And that's Gold Resource. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. When you approach retirement, there are some complex decisions to make about your home. Do you sell it? Do you downsize? Do you fix it up? Now you have another source of answers for your real estate questions. Get a note to our onboard licensed realtor, Justin Klein. Click on Justin, send him an email at investtalk.com. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. I know we're going to talk about balancing portfolios, and I know you don't want to hear about it, but it's important. Think about this. Last year, there were 9 big tech stocks that held up the market. I mean, we're talking like Netflix and Google and, you know, big Microsoft, big tech. And you may have had those in your portfolio, and they did very well last year. Very well. And we talked about rebalancing your portfolio. And so if they done very well last year, that means that they got overbalanced. You probably had too much of them if you had them in your portfolio. You have too much. You should have reduced it. Now, if you would have rebalanced, you'd notice that all those 9 fell sharply in January. The NASDAQ fell 15% in 1 month, mostly led down by those big stocks that led up last year. And this is the point of rebalancing. Things that work really, really well in 1 year tend to work poor in the following year. And it's not always perfect 1 year to the next. It could be a year and a half. It could be 2 years. Whatever. All we're saying is you don't have to take that extra risk if you rebalance your portfolio. Balancing means just make sure you have what you want and that you don't have too much of any one thing. Look at your allocations of your stocks, your sectors, and is it where you want to be? Maybe you want to move to other sectors. Right now, I'm suggesting, and I've said it till I'm blue in my face, I'm suggesting I kind of like big oil. I kind of like gold. I'm not even a gold person. I'm not a gold bug. I'm not. But from a short-term point of view, it looks attractive. Oil prices have been falling like stones, and you know, the oil stocks really collapsed. And I'm talking about big oil, not small, not Shell oil, not small oil companies. So I've talked about, well, maybe you want to rebalance and move into sectors that you probably maybe didn't have enough in, move away from sectors that you have too much in that did too well. So last year, you know, or vice versa, move into sectors that did very poorly last year in your portfolio. And you'll go, what? Buy more of stuff that didn't work? I don't want to do that. If you're going to rebalance your portfolio, you rebalance your portfolio. It's a smart thing to do. So I don't want to keep beating the dead horse into the ground, but you know, you have to look at your holdings and say, is this where I want to be right now? I'm not saying wholesale selling stuff and wholesale buying other stuff. I'm saying make some trim here, add there, move a little bit over here, whatever it is that you think you need to do. And I'm not trying to tell you what you should do. That's why I say for my clients, but I'm thinking, you know, for us, we constantly rebalance and figure out where we are, where we want to be. And right now, if you got the premium newsletter, you know what KPP Financial, our firm, is doing. We're being pretty darn cautious. We've had a much better time of it in January than most people. 888-99-CHART. Don't save your questions. If you have a question that's about the basics, we're here for you. If you have a question that's more complex, we're here for you. So any beginner or experienced questions are welcome. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Osman from Minnesota. My question is about Southwestern Energy, SWN. Do you think this company will be able to stay in business with the oil prices the way they are? It's a good buy for somebody who likes to take a risk. I would listen to the answer on the radio. Thank you very much.
Okay, let's take a look. It had a big volume day today, which is kind of interesting. Really big volume day, so something happened. Engaged in exploration and production of oil and natural gas, primarily in Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas, and Pennsylvania. It's a $2.4 billion company. And you heard me just a few minutes ago saying, I'd rather see you in big oil, not this. This would be a small cap company. $2.4 billion is a small cap company. They are losing money this year, 42 cents a share, and then they hope to gain 39 cents next year. Can the company survive? It probably is. It has very strong cash flow, and it doesn't have that much debt. It has some, but not that much. So I think they're going to survive. Is it a good company to invest in? Well, this is going to be a much more risky oil play, and I would not invest in it, but I'll say this. It probably has hit bottom. It tried to hit bottom a couple months ago, bounced up, and looks like it's trying to retest that bottom now. If it breaks through the bottom a couple months ago, then if you owned it, I'd get out. If it holds it, and you own the stock already, I'd hold it. If you want to buy it, wait for it to break above the 200-day moving average again. Because you like to buy things on strength. You know, it's not that far from the 20-day moving average, $7.40, and this stock is at $6.38. So I probably wait for that. I mean, it was high as $30 May last year. From May last year, it fell all the way up until December. Fell all the time. But I think it looks like it's done falling. If oil prices collapse, then it'll probably continue falling. But I don't think that's going to happen either. BJ, hold on. You'll be next. You're listening to Invest Talk. Coming up on the next half hour, you can see a self-directed... Can you use a self-directed IRA to invest in real estate? Justin will be here to talk about that with fellow realtors Chevy Ackerman here in not too distant future. 888-99-CHARGE is the anytime number. You can call right now.
For our Southern California subscribers, if you're looking to buy, sell, or invest in real estate, here's a seminar for you. Learn the ins and outs of the 1031 exchange, and InvestTalk's own Justin Klein will dig into the investment side of real estate. You'll see examples, too, of current real estate investments. It's Thursday, February 25th, 5:30 p.m. at J.T. Schmid's Restaurant. That's 2415 Park Avenue in Tustin, California. And again, that's February 25th at J.T. Schmid's in Tustin. We continue now with the Friday, February 26th Invest Talk. You can reach Steve or Justin directly with your personal money question anytime. Click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin on investtalk.com or check in right now, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to BJ in Fremont. How are you doing, BJ?
I'm doing good. Thank you, Steve, and thanks for spreading the wisdom.
Thank you.
Yeah. My question is on the previous comment you made about balancing the portfolio.
Uh-huh.
How do you decide, for example, if I have 20 stocks currently, some of them are doing good, some of them are a little bit down, but all of them looks like good companies.
Mm-hmm.
How do you compare one to another and decide, okay, if I want to reduce from this 20 to 15, what mm-hmm. are those five that I will identify to get rid of? What
okay.
are the different criteria?
Okay. Well, one of the ways you could do it, if you're looking at your 20 stocks and you see that some have done, maybe two or three done very, very well. Well, and you still want to hold on to them, you still like them, you might want to cut those in half and then rebalance that half of money into stocks that done poorly last year, but you still like them a lot. That would be a type of rebalancing. Another way is look at all the sectors your 20 companies make up. Because we never buy more than 3 to 5% of any one stock. We never buy more than about 20% of any one sector. Okay? So if you have too many in one sector and you're overloaded there, it might be time to migrate, sell one of those, the weakest of those, the ones you don't like the most, and move it into a sector that you think needs to be focused on. So that's when I talk about, it's not an exact science. That's the problem, BJ. It's not like, do this and then do this. I can't tell you that because the market moves. You know how the market constantly is in flux. But that's what I mean when I say rebalancing. Just look at your portfolio. If things done very, very, very well, they might be too big of your portfolio now. So time to cut it back. Still keep it.
Okay.
You can still keep it. It's just that, you know. Generally, as I said, last year's big winners are usually this year's losers. So that's how it just works. BJ, thanks for the call. Thanks for the kind words. I appreciate it. Let's go to Ron in San Jose. How you doing, Ron?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
So, question is regarding how, what is the percentage of your portfolio that you recommend to keep it in cash?
Well, right now, usually it would be in a normal market, it would be pretty much zero. Right now, in our income account, let's say we are about a little over 30%. In our stock account, we're only about 10-12%, but we have shorts, anti-market, against the market positions, and other defensive positions in the stock account. So it depends on how aggressive you want to be. You know, if you want to be conservative right now, if you are a conservative person and you want to be conservative, then you'd have at least 30% in cash right now. Now, you would use that cash when the market really takes a dive and you invest in it, because that's where you get your best opportunities. So think of cash as like ammunition to shoot at the market at some point. Okay? That answer your question?
And one, can I have one more question?
Sure.
Okay. If I have, my accounts distributed, in some 401k and some IRA and some, some other brokerage accounts.
Nice.
So, how do I effectively, identify the sector distributions and then understand how do I go about rebalancing?
Okay. Very good question, because your 401k will have only mutual fund choices, right? So you don't have individual stocks. And in your other two accounts, you may have ETFs and individual stocks and or mutual funds. So in that case, you have to look at your mutual funds and decide what part of the market they're in. Are they large cap growth funds? What percentage do I have of that? Are they small cap tech funds? Are they utility fund? So you find out where you are in the marketplace in those and write it down and how much percent in that 401k you are. Then go to your other two accounts and do the same process. Then combine all three and say, okay, in my 401k, I have this much tech. In my stock account, individual account, I have this much tech. In my IRA, I have this much tech. And that comes to 30% of my portfolio. That's too much. You see, so you come look at them all as one account, but figure out each individually what you have, and then combine them in the various sectors, and then decide if you're too heavy in one or too light in another sector. And maybe you want to move into a whole brand new sector, because of what the market's doing. So that's how you would do it. It takes a bit of practice. And, that's what I do this for people all the time, by the way. So if you wanted to sit down and meet with me, I'd do it, help you with that. But that's how you got to do it, okay?
Okay.
Thanks, great. Ron. Appreciate the call. One of the services we provide to a limited number of our listeners is, of course, free checkups that I just mentioned to Ron. I was in San Jose this week, and I'll be San Diego County March 2nd, back in San Ramon up in the Bay Area March 9th. So those are my latest dates, and I always post new ones on investtalk.com. I'm always up in the Bay Area, always available in Orange County, and then San Diego County, I go down there quite often. And, we can do Skype meetings. You can forward me your portfolios from anywhere in the country. We have software that we can enter them into and give us scores or risk scores. There's all kinds of stuff that's available for free. So if you want to do that, just give me a call. If you want to schedule a meeting, just go to investtalk.com and click on schedule a meeting.
Now, InvestTalk Real Estate. Chevy Akison, real estate agent and investor, speaks with Justin Klein about, is now a good time to downsize?
Now, a lot of people have 401ks and IRAs, and there's a new type of vehicle that's becoming more popular. It's a self-directed IRA, and a lot of people are starting to consider using that money to invest in real estate. And I know you have one, Chevy. So what have you seen of the opportunities and the pitfalls of those type of transactions?
Well, if you have the right professional assisting you to put it together, it can be a great tool. The one that I have checkbook control of it. you know, you got to make sure you have enough money in there, because if you buy a property for $150,000 and you have $160,000 in it and it needs $20,000 worth of repair, you're kind of stuck.
Yeah, because so you have to make that repair with the money within that self-directed IRA.
You can only use the money that's within the self-directed IRA. So you got to make sure you have enough money in it, but it can be a great tool.
Yeah, and some of the other pitfalls of the self-directed IRA is you can't use the property, right? You can never Correct. Live in it. It has to be a rental. You can't even go work on it, because then you're putting some actual sweat.
You can't even have a family member manage it, but I can't give legal or tax advice. So yeah, we're going to have to leave that to the attorneys and the lawyers. But yeah, what they told me is I can't even let my brother-in-law manage the property. So yeah, there are some rules, and you got to work within those rules. But if you can do it, they're relatively simple.
Yeah, and obviously there's always opportunity, right, within the rental market. It's just a matter of what part of the country, right? Here in California, in today's day and age, probably difficult to find great rental opportunities.
There's always opportunity in almost every market. With that being said, there's, you know, better opportunities. I invest all over the country. Most of my cash flow investments are out of state. Again, like right now in California, I think there is some opportunity still in the vacation rental market, but there's all sorts of things you got to look out for. So you want to make sure you're working with a professional. You know, some cities have codes that allow vacation rentals, some don't. If you have an HOA, you gotta be careful of that. You know, I'm also investing in Florida right now because there's a lot more foreclosures there, so there's a lot more distressed properties, so it hasn't seen the spike that a lot of other areas have. I'm always looking all over the country to see where I feel like the best opportunities are. There's a lot of great data online now, and it's amazing what you can do.
And that's InvestTalk Real Estate. If you have a question about real estate right now, 888-99-CHART is the number to call, or click Contact Justin on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Manu, who's in Fremont. How you doing, Manu?
Thanks. Good. Thanks to Steve for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have a question regarding, I gave one example, C-Trip. Uh-huh. When you see earnings on Yahoo, right now, for many companies, ADR, they started giving estimates, I don't know, in their local currency. So what is the way, or is there any way so you can know their earnings estimate? Because if you see C-Trip, it's in billions, their revenue, and same is for Baidu. Mm-hmm. So how you figure out
what their earnings are? Well, there's firms that give you estimates. There's Morningstar. There's different firms that study charts, study the companies, get information from them, get information from their competitors, get information from their suppliers, and they give you estimates. Okay, IBIS does it. There's a number of them. And right now, C-Trip has estimates on the software that I use. They're going to make $1.13. They're going to make $1.13 this year in 2015. They haven't come with their earnings yet. And then 2016 is going to go down to 43¢ per share. So remember, those are just estimates, Manu. They're always estimates. Yeah. No one knows for sure. In answer to your question, nobody knows for sure. It's estimates of what people's best guess is.
No, my question was, before it used to be in dollars. Mm-hmm. Now they converted on Yahoo. If you look at the earnings estimate, it is in a different currency. That's what my question was. How you figure out?
Well, then you'd have to translate it back into dollars. I'm looking at estimates based on dollars here on my software. It's all based on dollars, not on... And C-Trip, everybody, CTRP, is a Chinese company. Okay, China-based consolidator of hotel accommodation, airline tickets, individual businesses, and leisure travel. So, again, you know, you're looking at free information on the internet, and it... You know, how they present it is up to them. If they change from dollars to yuan, which is the Chinese currency, then you got to figure out what the exchange rate is and put it so you know what it is in dollars, if that's what you want to do.
It's very hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. The same with the Russian. Western companies, they started doing the same thing.
Yeah, it makes it very difficult. That's why, see, professionals buy data, and that's why they pay the big bucks, because it's presented to them in a lot easier to read fashion. If you're doing, using the internet, you got to find all the data in different places. It makes it very difficult. Man, you appreciate the call. Thank you very much. C-Trip, everybody. C-Trip, Chinese company that does hotel accommodations, airlines, all that stuff. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. GDP numbers, gross domestic product for the U.S., were revised for the fourth quarter today. Remember, these things get revised two times. They come out with an initial estimate. They revise it here before the end of the first quarter for the fourth quarter. And they'll do it one more time, a final revision of the fourth quarter GDP. Anyways, the initial read was up 0.7%. The revision, they thought it was going to be lower to 0.4%, and it actually got revised up to 1% growth, GDP growth for the fourth quarter. And you would usually would say, well, that's good news. Look at that, it moved up, yay. Nope. Because why isn't it good news? Because you got to look out a little deeper than that. You got to figure out, why was it revised up? And the reason why it was revised up is because inventory was building. It was building a lot more than they first thought it was. They thought it was $68.6 billion in initial inventory, when it actually was $81.7 billion. Now, why is that bad news? Inventory is, of course, when corporations make more things and they're not getting sold down the pipeline. Therefore, they're growing in warehouses, the supply. And if you make a lot more things than you first estimated, that's going to be positive for the GDP number. But the important thing is not making more things. The important thing is selling more things. And if you keep inventory building, you have to work off that excess, don't you? And you work it off in the following quarter, don't you? So they stop making a lot more widgets or whatever it is, and they sell off the inventory. So that makes the first quarter GDP this quarter could be low because we had too much inventory from the previous quarter left over. I hope you followed that. Now, it's not all negative, by the way, because spending is up, 2% quarter, for the fourth quarter. But 2% was in the fourth quarter was weaker than the 2.2% in the third quarter. And remember, the fourth quarter was the holiday quarter. So it's not great news that the GDP number went up because of how it went up. How it did it. So it's not always great news. You have to read the details and understand what you're reading, by the way. Our Invest Talk Anytime number is 888-99-CHART. Matthew is holding. If you'll hold on, Matthew, we'll get to you next. I'm here to answer your questions, any money questions, 888-99-CHART.
Listen, I'm really glad I found you guys again. I was first introduced when you were on a local AM station out here and stumbled into you guys back on the internet.
Invest Talk is here to help.
Thank you.
And we thank you for listening.
So let's go talk to Matthew. How you doing, Matthew?
Hello, Matthew. Doing well. Happy Friday to you, and good afternoon. How are you?
Thank you.
Good. Yes. And I was calling, wondering what your leading indicators are for recession. And this is kind of a two-part question. That's okay. The first part. And the second, what specific indicators are you looking at which would lead you to believe and make you confident that we are headed into a recession?
Okay. The one that is pretty darn reliable is the yield spread of between a 2-year treasury and a 10-year treasury. When they start to squeeze together, in other words, the yields on both of them getting closer and closer together, you know that there's tension in the financial markets. And whenever they flip to negative, in other words, they invert, the two-year yield is bigger than the 10-year yield, okay, then you know you're heading into recession. That's one of the clear ways to do it. And there's other indicators out there. There's quite a few of them, actually. That's just one of them, and that's one of the ones that are the most reliable. The stock market is one of the leading economic indicators. If the market falls sharply, that usually indicates there's going to be a recession on the way. Market usually is a leading economic indicator. So, we did a whole seminar with a bunch of things we showed just this last Saturday of what is leading us to believe that the stock market is weakening and we could be heading into a recession, maybe not this year, but certainly maybe next year. And we said what we were looking at. And we're going to have that on, we're going to do that online in a condensed version here in the next week or two. So we'll have that, Matthew, so you can listen to it anytime you want to. We'll do it live first, and then we'll have a few days later for InvestTalk Insiders. And it's free, so it won't be, But there are a number of them. Appreciate the call, Matthew. I got to get to Bob. Bob in the Bay Area. How you doing, Bob? Bob, you there?
I'm retired. Uh-huh. And I want to know if what are the restrictions and pitfalls of using your IRA to invest in residential real estate?
Okay, that's a very good question. You can use your IRA to invest in real estate, but there are rules, and there are pretty darn strict rules about using your IRA to invest in real estate. It is just like any other investment, it is an investment, and you have to have a arm's length transaction. You can't just say, well, I'll just use my IRA to put a down payment on a rental property, and there you go. That doesn't work, Bob. You have to talk to an accountant who has a specialty in this area, okay? So that is right. One thing you have to do. You have to set up probably there's contracts, I know this sounds weird, but there's contracts you have to set up with yourself. You're going to buy this real estate and put it in the IRA. And, I can give you more information on that because it is complex and it's hard to say over the radio exactly how you got to do it. But you do have to use a CPA to help you set this up for you if that's what you want to do.
Okay, that's good. I can talk to my accountant. The only thing I read threw me for a loop. When you do something like this, it implied that you could not invest in rental residential property. It only had to be commercial. Is that correct or not?
No, it's not necessarily correct. That's why I say there's our rules that really have to be adhered to. That's generally correct, but you don't have to do it that way. It's not totally true. Okay? Bob, appreciate the call. That's a very good question, Bob.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. And, of course, in your IRA, you buy property, it's a much longer-term deal. So you got to bear that in mind. It's a long-term proposition. And remember, it's an investment from your IRA, and you have to treat it as an investment. And it has to be clearly as investment, and the IRA will be on you if it's not. So don't want to get in trouble. Our time is up. A reminder that if you have a question you'd like to ask me directly, you can send me a note by going to InvestTalk.com and clicking on Contact Steve. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP, thank you for listening today. And let's get together again on Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.